Brother Robert Knox will read for us from the 21st chapter of Luke's Gospel, from verse 20 to the end of the chapter. My dear brothers and sisters, if Yahweh so laid the axe to the root of the tree, how much must we take heed that he spare not those branches that have been grafted in? To that end, we would ask our brother Eric to step forward and answer for us that very vital question: when shall these things be?
Brother Chairman, my dear brethren and sisters in Christ Jesus, Luke, in recording the final words of the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ to the apostles' second question, stated in that 21st chapter and verse 22 that these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And Luke, here in his gospel record, differently to Mark and Matthew, was writing, I believe, to Gentile believers, those who had come into the truth and required further instruction. And what he writes seems to be of particular interest to us who were Gentiles who have accepted the hope of Israel. And he records for us in these verses not only the events of AD 70, but he takes us on in the course of time from AD 70 and shows us the things which were going to happen both to Jewry and the city of Jerusalem. What of Jewry? Well, he shows us that they would fall by the edge of the sword, and that they would be led away captive into all nations. And this, of course, has had its prediction, not only at the time of AD 70, but the years intervening until our own days. What of the city of Jerusalem? And there he shows us that Jerusalem was going to be trodden down of the Gentiles. But for how long? He says, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And so he limits the time of the Gentile treading down of the city of Jerusalem. So Luke gives us, by these words, a link between the events of the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ in AD 70 and the events of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And during this period of time, he shows us the situation from our standpoint that we can see in regard to the people of Israel, the Jewish people, and the city of Jerusalem. Now, Luke continues after having made the statement that Jerusalem would be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And he goes on in verse 25 to say, there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and upon distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. But if we go over to the parallel account in the 24th chapter of Matthew, we note that Luke has dealt with the circumstances of AD 70. He has dealt with the intervening years, and then he shows us that there would be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. As far as Matthew is concerned, in his record, he shows us in verse 27 that, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And so he deals with AD 70. And then he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And so he takes up the point, as far as Luke is concerned, that Luke has inserted something which he believes is applicable to the Gentiles, for us as Gentiles who have accepted the hope of Israel. And he adds what happens to Jewry over that period of time. And then Matthew takes up the matter, and he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon will not give her light. And so he takes up the thought that is given by Luke in the 25th verse of the 21st chapter. So linking the two together, Luke says that Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, and Matthew comes in with that immediately after the tribulation of those days, And then they again go on together in parallel with the 25th verse of the 21st chapter of Luke. And I believe it's very important for us, brothers and sisters, to consider what the Lord Jesus Christ is stating at this point of time. He's saying that Jerusalem is going to be trodden down of the Gentiles, and that this period of treading down is limited, that until those times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And then, after that period of time has elapsed, the Lord Jesus Christ says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, there's going to be problems and difficulties on the earth. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. And he says this will come immediately after the times of the Gentiles, as far as the treading down of Jerusalem is concerned, elapse. Consider the statement of the 8th chapter of Daniel that we briefly considered in the question period yesterday afternoon. There are two angels discussing the event relating to the city of Jerusalem and the fact that the sanctuary has been trodden down. They're having a discussion, and we are permitted to listen to the discussion between these two angels. Verse 13 of the 8th chapter of Daniel. And I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And it's as though the Lord Jesus Christ is taking the words from this 8th chapter of Daniel. And we know that his mind is focused back to Daniel as he gives this Olivet prophecy. And his mind is given to the times that are stated therein. And the fact that the abomination of desolation would stand in the holy place. And the Lord is going back to Daniel as a basis for the Olivet prophecy. And you consider what these two angels are discussing. They're saying, how long is Jerusalem going to be trodden down? And when is the time for that treading down to cease? And the answer is, and he said unto me, verse 14 of that 8th chapter of Daniel, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it's interesting, brethren and sisters, that we have 2,300 days. And on a day for a year principle, which is the prophetic principle of calculation, it would be 2,300 years. And the date, I believe, for the commencement of this 2,300 years is the date of the commencement of the vision that is given to us in this 8th chapter, in which there is a clash between the ram with two horns, Medo-Persian, and the rough he-goat, the king of Grecia. And the notable battle occurred at the river Granicus in the year 334 B.C. And if we take that period of time, we find that that time elapses in 1966, so that these two angels are discussing together the matter relating to the treading down of the city of Jerusalem. And they're saying, how long is this going to happen? And the angels, one angel answers the other one, and it seems that in his he was the angel who considered the time periods, the chronological order of the events of the divine purpose. And this angel answers that that sanctuary is going to be trodden down until 1966. And in 1967, it would usher in the commencement of time, which would end with the final time of the Gentiles, the complete cleansing of the city of Jerusalem, and the re-establishment of the kingdom of God with the temple in the city of Jerusalem. And brethren and sisters, we've been permitted to see the fulfillment of these verses. We've been permitted to see Jerusalem freed from the hands of Gentilism, and again in the hands of the Jewish people. Jerusalem, says Luke, would be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Brethren and sisters, you consider the scene in the city of Jerusalem on the evening of the 13th day of the first month, the 13th day of Abib. The 2 days before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ was to be crucified on the 14th day of Abib, the fourth month. And four disciples, representative of the ecclesia, representative of spiritual Israel, had come to the Lord Jesus Christ with three questions. Three questions. And the third of those questions, the third question which the Lord Jesus Christ answers is, what is the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And the Lord had answered them in the prophecy that we'll consider this morning. But you consider the aspect of those four disciples as emblematic of spiritual Israel. They were sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ, but their eyes were focused on the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem was now covered in darkness, the darkness of Gentile night. And the Lord Jesus Christ was showing unto them that if they would know the signs when these things would be fulfilled, it was necessary for them to focus their attention upon that city of Jerusalem. And he was showing to them and to us, brethren and sisters, that the most important sign relating to the time of the end was the deliverance of the city of Jerusalem. And we, brethren and sisters of all generations, are permitted to witness that event. We see it before our very eyes. And the Lord said to the disciples who were with him concerning the city of Jerusalem, that the city of Jerusalem would be delivered, and immediately or suddenly after those days, there would be problems on the earth of an unprecedented nature, and we have witnessed them on every hand. That is the 25th verse of that 21st chapter of Luke. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. And brethren and sisters, consider the problems that have affected the earth, the nations of the earth, since 1967. We needn't list them, we know them only too well. We know the social problems that have occurred, the economic problems, the political problems, the ecclesial problems that have mounted since the days of 1967. There has been an acceleration on every hand of every problem. There's been a spirit of lawlessness, as the Lord Jesus Christ had said earlier in the Olivet prophecy. Because iniquity or lawlessness or lack of restraint, because this would abound, the love of many should wax cold. And we see about us on every hand the problems and difficulties amongst the nations. Problems that have no apparent solution. The only solution, of course, being the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, of course, what the sun and the moon and the stars refer to. They are the heavenly bodies, as it were. And the heavens, of course, speak of the political system of the earth. The sun, of course, deals with the civil power. The moon, the ecclesiastical power, because it gains its strength or its light from the sun. And the stars are the principal statesmen of the world. And we see this, these signs in the political heavens, which herald the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as the earth is concerned, the ruler of the class, there is said to be distress of nations with perplexity. And if we go to the time of 1967, we find as far as the ruled over class that there has been a greater amount of unemployment in a period of seeming prosperity than ever before. There is a certain distress and perplexity. And the nations, though they would try to improve the employment situation, the earth is affected more than ever, and nothing they seem to do can solve the problems upon the earth from that point of view. And it speaks of the sea and the waves roaring, which is the multitudes of people upon the face of the earth. And we see this as the nations are affected one with the other. And there is a spirit of turmoil within the earth. And verse 26 speaks of the men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And thinking men and women fear for the future. They are perplexed, they are worried with the things which will be coming upon the earth. There is no, in this age in which we live, there is a greater tension than ever before. And men's hearts do fail them for fear and for considering the things which will come upon the earth. Because the political heavens will be shaken with a magnitude that they have never been shaken before. And there will be a vast change. Vast changes will take place. And then in the 24th chapter of Matthew, in verse 30, Matthew says, or records, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We're on the very eve, brethren and sisters, of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord's words show us very amply and very clearly that this is the case. And the 24th chapter of Matthew in verse 30 speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ elevated to a position of authority and power amongst the nations. Consider the fourth chapter of Revelation in verse 1. Revelation 4 and verse 1, and John is permitted to see this vision, to hear this voice. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So that here was a door which was opened in heaven. As far as we are concerned, then, during this present day and age, the door of entrance, as it were, to positions of political power is closed. And ultimately the saints will be elevated to a position of rulership in the age to come. And this door is said to have been opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as the voice of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither. And John, who is representative of the saints, will be elevated to positions of authority and power in the age to come. And so they will be, as it were, in the political heavens. And this, of course, speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in the 24th chapter of Matthew in verse 30. When it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ now elevated to that position of authority and power amongst the nations. And the 14th chapter of Revelation speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in that position. Revelation 14 and verse 1, it speaks of the Lamb standing upon Mount Zion, and with him the saints. Revelation 14 and verse 1, I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, and those with him, they're now elevated to a position of power amongst the nations. And the Lord Jesus Christ now goes forth to assert his power, to call upon the nations to submit to his righteous rule. But with him are the saints. And the cry goes forth, verse 6, And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And so as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ in that 24th chapter of Matthew in verse 30, there is the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, elevated to the position of political power amongst the nations. And it speaks of the initial manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the initial, that first stage of the establishment of the kingdom of God upon earth. It's the kingdom of God, as it were, as the stone power that is smitten the image in the battle of Armageddon, in the development of the battle of Armageddon, preparatory to going forth that the kingdom of God might ultimately fill the whole earth. And now the nations are told to submit to the rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Matthew 24 verse 30 says that then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. The tribes of the earth would mourn. And brethren and sisters, if ever there was a time when the tribes of the earth should mourn, it's the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is now established in that initial phase of power. You consider what has happened as far as the nations are concerned. The nations have been devastated by war on every hand, a war which they have engaged between themselves. The earthquake will have occurred in the Middle East, which probably will shatter the cities of the nations. And the scriptures speak of the cities of the nations shall fall. The scriptures also speak of the slain of Yahweh shall be from one end of the earth even unto the other. And I believe even at this point of time this will be so. Although the war of Armageddon will be taken into every country which refuses to submit to the righteous rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can understand with the bloodshed and destruction which will cover the globe at this point of time, why the nations of the earth would mourn. The tribes of the earth would mourn. And it says, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of the coming of himself, the Son of Man, with the clouds of heaven. And those clouds of heaven are like John, who was elevated to that position of power. It's the saints who are now glorified, immortalized, having gone through the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been with the Lord Jesus Christ, are now with the Lord Jesus Christ to take his power and to reign within the city of Jerusalem. And this was the time for which the apostles were waiting at that particular time. It was the position of glory that the disciples were then looking for when they asked the Lord Jesus Christ these three questions. They felt that this was going to happen within several days, that they themselves were going to be put into those positions of over the 12 tribes of Israel, on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They wanted the Lord Jesus Christ then to manifest himself in power, and so rule over the nations. But the things which they had asked for, the Lord Jesus Christ now shows them, will ultimately come upon the earth, and the tribes of the earth would mourn at that point of time. And then the Lord has shown here to his disciples that a long time was to elapse. They didn't understand at this point of time what the Lord Jesus Christ meant by the things which he stated. And the things which the Lord Jesus Christ stated are specifically written for ourselves. We go to the 21st chapter of Luke again and verse 28. Verse 27, we have considered, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And the Lord continues in verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And the Lord here is speaking specifically to us, living at this time and in this age. Those who we who have witnessed the freeing of the city of Jerusalem from Gentile hands, now in the hands of the Jewish people, we are witnessing the events which herald the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those problems and difficulties which have come upon the nation, even the ecclesial problems themselves, show us that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is almost upon us. And the exhortation which the Lord Jesus Christ gives in that 28th verse, when these things begin to come to pass, for us to lift up our heads, because we recognize our redemption is drawing near. And the exhortation is specifically to us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of the current events amongst the nations of the world. And we can see signs which are clearly discernible, which relate to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. And continuing in that 24th chapter of Matthew in verse 31, the Lord deals with the restoration, the ultimate restoration of the people of Israel. Matthew 24 and verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. It speaks of the ultimate restoration of the people of Israel. Consider the 11th chapter of Isaiah and verse 10. Isaiah 11 and verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Verse 11, it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Edom, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and shall gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And this is a work which will occur after the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has turned his hand a first time to gather the people of Israel from these areas. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, so he will set his hand a second time to gather the people of Israel from these various parts to bring them home again. And so that 24th chapter of Matthew in verse 31, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ refer to the work of Elijah with seven saints with him that will go forth to do this work, going to the various Jewish communities throughout the world, calling them to return home again and bringing them through either north or south into the land of Palestine, the land of Israel. And so it speaks of his angels, the messengers in that day, these saints, Elijah and those with him, that with the sound of a great trumpet they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so they will be brought back again, the return of which speaks of the return of Israel. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ in a measure is quoting from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy and verse 4, which speaks in similar terms of the return of the people of Israel. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1, "It shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among the nations, whither Yahweh thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto Yahweh thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day. Thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thine soul, that when Yahweh thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither Yahweh thy God hath scattered thee." And verse 4 seems to be the Lord is quoting verse 4, "And if any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will Yahweh thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee." And this will be the work of the saints in the age to come, or certain of the saints in the age to come, who will bring about the return again of the people of Israel. And so the Lord concludes the words now of the Olivet prophecy with a parable and an exhortation. And this is given in the 21st chapter of Luke, verse 29. "And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And so these words are the final words in the answer, the answer to that third question. And the Lord Jesus Christ here shows us the final consummation of the purpose of Yahweh. And this is with the budding of the fig tree. And the budding of the fig tree is a symbol, or the fig tree is a symbol of the nation of Israel. Consider firstly the prophecy of Habakkuk, chapter 3. Habakkuk 3 and verse 17. The prophet here refers to impending trouble which was going to come upon the nation of Israel. And he says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." And he's dealing here, and he uses the symbols of the nation of Israel. Israel is the fig tree. Israel is the vine. Israel is the olive. Israel is the flock. And the prophet Habakkuk looks to the time when there would be no blossom on the fig tree. There would be no fruit from the nation of Israel. And he shows that ultimately this fig tree will blossom again. And the Lord Jesus Christ shows that the fig tree now begins to shoot forth again. And the prophet had used these as a symbol of the nation of Israel to show the fact that Israel, a certain period of time, would not yield fruit for the glory and honor of Yahweh's name. And again in the prophecy of Joel chapter 1 and verse 7. Speaking of the nations who would decimate the people of Israel. Joel 1 and verse 7. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. And so the fig tree is shown as a symbol of the nation of Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ in the Olivet Prophecy shows to us that we need to consider this, the matter of the nation of Israel. Behold the fig tree. But he doesn't say behold merely the fig tree, but not only the fig tree, but all the trees. As it were, the other nations of the earth. Consider the fig tree, but you consider its relationship to the other nations of the earth. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. Summer is now nigh at hand. And the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with all the trees. They're all shooting forth. Summer is about to come upon us. It's the time of harvest. And the Lord Jesus Christ with the saints will go through the earth, as it were, reaping the harvest of Yahweh. There'll be a heap of sheaves in the valley of judgment, Armageddon. And these trees will have sprung forth, shooting forth. And we know that summer and the time of harvest is now at hand. And this sign that the Lord Jesus Christ refers us to is in existence today and shows to us quite clearly that we are about to see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to us, verse 31, so likewise ye, Luke 21, verse 31, so likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And brethren and sisters, each and every one of us need to be stirred up with that message, that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand, that only a short period of time must elapse before the Lord Jesus Christ will reveal himself in the earth. We see the shooting forth of these various nations, and we need to be strengthened by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as never before, because the Lord Jesus Christ shows to us that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And although these very great signs are in the earth, so it is possible for our love to wax cold. And it does on every hand, and this is particularly noticeable ecclesially. As the problems and difficulties that affect the ecclesias, so we become lethargic. We tend to sleep. And the Lord says in verse 32 that, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. A generation is 40 years. And it's interesting, in the 7th chapter of Micah, and verse 15, the prophet Micah deals with these times after the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Micah 7 and verse 15. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt will I show unto him, or as it could be rendered, unto them, marvelous things. According to the days, and the days of their coming out of Egypt were 40 years, will I show unto them marvelous things. And it deals with the return of the Jews again, I believe, back to their own land. The nation shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, and their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. And they shall be afraid of Yahweh our God, and fear because of thee. And so the nations are going to witness over that 40-year period of time the return of the Jews again to their own land. And during that period of time, the nations will be affected by that 30-year period of judgment, which is spoken of in the 14th chapter of Revelation. The hour of his judgment is come. Fear God and give glory to him, because of the hour of his judgment is come. consider this matter, brethren and sisters, in relation to the people living at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ's return. And link that with the deliverance of the people of Israel from Egypt. That first generation that came out of Egypt perished in the wilderness. And I believe the same will be the case with those people, Gentile people, or Jewish people for that matter. That first generation of those living at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that first generation will not be permitted to see the establishment of the kingdom of God in its fullest extent. The hour of judgment will destroy many of the people of the earth. But so also will that first generation die before the establishment of the kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ is exhorting us in that 21st chapter of Luke in verse 32, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." And this has its application, I believe, to the events. For those who see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the generation will not pass until all these things be fulfilled. But it's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ gave this Olivet prophecy in the year 30 AD. And 40 years later, the nation of Israel received its judgment in AD 70. And so I believe the words that are spoken of here have a double application, both to the events of AD 70 as it will as far as the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. The number 40 is the number of probation. And this was the case as far as Israel was concerned. Israel had a 40-year period of probation in which they could have accepted the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of the apostles. They could have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. They could have saved themselves from the problems and difficulties which were coming upon them. But not only was it a time of probation for the people of Israel, but at that time it was a time of probation for the members of the ecclesia. And unfortunately there were certain members of the ecclesia who were turning back to the things of Moses and the things of the temple. And because they turned back, their time of probation was not spent in fear and applying themselves to the things of Yahweh and the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that they died with the people of Israel who suffered in AD 70. And not only is that a time of probation for the Jews and for the ecclesia living at the time of AD 70, but so it will be for the world at large in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be on probation to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe, brethren and sisters, that we are also on probation at this point of time to see how we will react to the things of the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ says that heaven and earth, verse 33 of that 21st chapter of Luke, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The words heaven and earth are used as symbols of the nation of Israel. Consider the first chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2. The prophet says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yahweh hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Notice verse 10. "Hear the word of Yahweh, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of God, ye people of Gomorrah." He's using it of the nation of Israel. In verse 2, he refers to them as the heavens and earth. And verse 10, he refers to them as the rulers and the people of Israel, but he refers to them as the rulers of Sodom and the people of Gomorrah. And so the people of Israel, both the ruled over and the ruling and the ruled over classes, are mentioned by the term heaven and earth. The heavens of the rulers, the earth are the people ruled over. It's interesting, in the 65th chapter of Isaiah, that the prophet refers to the new heavens and new earth. Isaiah 65 and verse 17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing in her people of joy. And so the prophet Isaiah is referring to a new heavens and a new earth. It's interesting also that Peter, in his second epistle, chapter 3, and verse 10, he says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." And I believe in this chapter that Peter is going directly back to the Olivet prophecy, when he's dealing with the heavens and earth as well. When he says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away. The Lord Jesus Christ, particularly at the time of this Olivet prophecy, refers to himself as coming as a thief in the night. And Peter here adds that in that period of time that the heavens would pass away, and so would the earth. The earth and the works that are in shall be burned up. So that the Lord Jesus Christ says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words would not pass away. And Peter shows how that the Jewish heavens and earth were going to pass away, and that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ would stand four square and would have their fulfillment. And Peter says in verse 11, "Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" And we have seen from this Olivet prophecy that not only do the heavens and earth make reference to the Jewish, the nation of Israel, but they're also a symbol of the nations of Gentilism. The nations of Gentilism, their ruling over class and those ruled over would also give way to the rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ. The heavens and earth that we witness today will be dissolved and pass away. And because they are dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be, brethren and sisters, in all holy conversation and godliness? And so the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken that his words would not pass away, that they would receive their fulfillment. And then finally, in the 13th, we'll now go to the 13th chapter of Mark. And verse 32. Verses 32 to 33, the Lord concludes this section with an exhortation. An exhortation to watch and pray. Mark 13, verse 32, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." And so I believe the Lord Jesus Christ concludes the answer to this third and final question with these two verses, reminding the disciples that came to him, first of all, that no one knew the day nor the hour, that it was necessary for them to take heed. They had to watch and pray. As we have mentioned, the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples on the 12th day of Abib had one of the busiest days in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The day had been spent within the precincts of the temple. And now the disciples with the Lord Jesus Christ had come out and were sitting upon the Mount of Olives. You can imagine as the disciples sat there listening to the Lord Jesus Christ as he gave the Olivet prophecy, that their eyes would watch and pray. As we have mentioned, the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples on the 12th day of Abib had one of the busiest days in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The day had been spent within the precincts of the temple. And now the disciples with the Lord Jesus Christ had come out and were sitting upon the Mount of Olives. You can imagine as the disciples sat there listening to the Lord Jesus Christ as he gave the Olivet prophecy in sleep. And the Lord now exhorts them that they need to watch. They need to be spiritually alert. They need to watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Take ye heed, watch and pray. They didn't know the day nor the hour. And verse 33, where he says watch and pray, that same word watch is used by the Apostle Paul in the first epistle to the Thessalonians. And I believe that the words in this fifth chapter, that the Apostle Paul is taking these words and the basis of his words from the Olivet Prophecy. The first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. And verse 1, he says to them, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." They had no need that this should be written unto them, "for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. No man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh," said the Apostle Paul. "The times and the seasons, I've got no need to write unto you, because no one knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. You know perfectly that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come as a thief in the night. We don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. He's going to come as a thief in the night." And the Apostle Paul is showing this. Verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child." And the thought that he uses is the same thought as the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, "These be the beginnings of sorrows, and they shall not escape." And the Apostle Paul is here showing again the birth pangs in childbirth that they cannot receive with greater intensity as the day approaches, as that day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come as a thief in the night. But verse 4 he says, "But we need to be prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to watch and pray that that day should not overtake you as a thief." And verse 5, "For ye are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore," he says, "let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Don't let us sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And the term he uses for the word watch is the same word that the Lord Jesus Christ uses at that point of time. And it means to be spiritually or mentally alert. To be spiritually or mentally alert for the things in the things of the truth. And verse 7 he says, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." And you consider that the Lord Jesus Christ uses similar thoughts to this when he speaks about that evil servant who says, "Where is the Lord's coming?" And he begins to eat and drink with the drunken. And he refuses to do what the Lord would have him do. The Lord will come in a day when he thinketh not, in a day in which he is not aware, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of them eating and drinking. In other words, participating in the things of the churches about us, refusing to hearken unto the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, but going back to the things which we have left, the things of the world and the things of the surrounding churches. And so the Apostle Paul exhorts us that we need to be spiritually alert to the things about us. And verse 8 he says, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. And so, brethren and sisters, we need to be stirred up by the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might do his will acceptably, that we might watch, as it were, the signs about us, that we might be spiritually and mentally alert to the dangers that exist on every hand. And if we do that, we will be amongst with the Lord Jesus Christ and the clouds of heaven that will be revealed when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. The question refers us to the 13th chapter of Mark in verse 6. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And the question is that this is in italics. The word Christ is in italics. In both
Luke and Mark.
The words Christ are in italics in both Luke and Mark. Now, as we considered, I believe that the Apostle John in his epistles makes reference after the time, to show that this was the time in which they had lived. John is writing after the time of AD 70. In the first epistle of John, chapter 2, and verse 18, he says, "Little children, it is the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Again, in the second epistle of John in verse 7, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." This is deceiver and an antichrist. So that it was not only the false Christ, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." But not only were there false Christ, but there is false doctrine relating to the Lord Jesus Christ, and false prophets also arising at this point of time to deceive many. The 24th chapter of Matthew, which we had considered, verse 5, "They shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And I believe that this really is the thought that Mark is also showing, that many would come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I haven't unfortunately looked at the point of the fact of it being in italics, but I believe that it's not only false Christ, but it's also false doctrine relating to the matter of the Lord Jesus Christ, and are referred to by John, speaking after the event, as antichrist. I've got to repeat that question. The question relates to the words of the Matthew 24, verse 29, which says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven." The signs in the political heavens, shouldn't we not look for those in the events immediately after AD 70? And the other question was, could we state the commencement of the 40-year period from our times? In answering the second question first, "that no man knoweth the day nor the hour," I'm afraid I can't give an answer to the commencement of the 40-year period. In regard to the other proposition of verse 29, "immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven," I believe that what the Lord Jesus Christ is stating is specifically for this generation and not for the events of AD 70. As Luke, I believe, points out in the 24th verse, and Luke merely eliminates, they're putting something in here, eliminates from the 25th verse, "immediately after the tribulation of those days, there shall be signs in the sun and the moon." So I think that if we filled that in between 24 and verse 25 of the 21st chapter of Luke, we would have the same thought. But what the Lord is stating here in verse 25 is that as far as the Jewish people were concerned, they were going to fall by the edge of the sword. And they were going to be led away captive into all nations. And this is a progressive event which have occurred since AD 70. And also Jerusalem was going to be trodden down to the Gentiles. If he'd left it there and then said that there's going to be signs immediately after those days, we would have said yes, that could have had its reference to the events after AD 70. But he doesn't. He goes on with the words that this was going to happen until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And we are seeing the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled in our very days. Now, with the end of the treading down of the Jerusalem of the Gentiles, the Lord then goes on to say that immediately after the tribulation of those days. So that we've looked in a course of time as like a span of time that Luke is filling in writing to the Gentiles something which has particular interest to ourselves as Gentiles, and he says that over the course of the span of time what was going to happen as far as the people of Israel, which we need to watch, and the city of Jerusalem. And he says that the Jerusalem was going to be trodden down to the Gentiles until those times be fulfilled, and immediately after the tribulation of those days, there were going to be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. So that I believe that this is something, there are certain things in the prophecy that have relationship merely to AD 70, but this I believe is something which has merely application to the days in which we live.
My dear brother and sister, to the end that we might play our part in the